Basa, basa,
basa, basa, basa,
basa, basa, basa,
Suku Sound.
What's up, Montreal? It's your boy Freddie V, representing Eclipse and the Community Vibe Collective, yo. Just bigging up your local community radio station, Montreal's only 90.3 FM, CKUT.
Welcome to another episode of the Environment in Canada podcast, a podcast about the environment in Canada by Sierra Club Canada. I'm Connor Curtis, Head of Communications with Sierra Club Canada, and today I'm going to be talking with André Goulet of the Harbinger Media Network about the role of journalism and independent journalism in the environmental movement and the overlap between the two. We're going to be discussing some pretty crucial topics, things you've probably heard us cover before, like the meta ban on Canadian journalism, that is the Facebook and Instagram ban on Canadian journalism content in Canada. At the time of the recording of this podcast, which was a few months ago, there is also an impending possibility of a ban by Google of journalistic content in Canada, one which could have been catastrophic for a lot of publications, especially independent publications, since when you think about it, if you go to go search up an issue, where do you find it? A lot of us put it into Google. Right now, there's already enough of an issue in Google searches of finding misinformation, but imagine for the environmental movement if suddenly there's no journalistic content there even covering the issue. And that's not to say that we necessarily agree with every piece of journalistic content that comes out with the viewpoints represented in it, but there is something fundamentally important about having a media landscape that allows for good journalism. And there are a lot of good journalists working, whether at larger publications or at independent ones, doing great work on environmental journalism, something we're going to be talking about today. Now, with all of that being said, we're going to also talk about a few other things that I think are super important. And one of them is organizing offline, something that never went away, but something that's becoming newly emphasized in a world where we're not sure what's going to happen on the online community. Now, we've known for a long time that actually, you know, the digital age isn't as utopian as we hoped it would be, and particularly with the rise of a lot of other things like AI, we're going to see more misinformation on the internet, which makes organizing offline something that has always been important, even more important now. It makes different forms of communication just as important in centering those. So, on that note, I am going to say that before we begin, a reminder that you can take action on environmental issues by visiting sierraclub.ca. For one thing, you can sign up for email updates from us, which is a great way to avoid any potential bans or blocks in the future from social media and still get news from us. We also have tons of petitions, other actions and events, and regular news updates from our chapters that you can sign up for on their pages. You can also find Sierra Club Canada on social media, and you can listen to the Environment in Canada podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube, or wherever you find your podcasts. This podcast also airs on CKUT Broadcast Radio in Montreal, 90.3 FM, bi-weekly on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. ET. Yet another way to get around any potential social media bans. Don't forget to click follow or subscribe so you get the latest episodes from us. Hi, André. Thanks for joining me today. How's it going?
It's so good to be here, Connor. Thanks for having me on the show.
You've been working in podcasting and podcast producing for a long time, and you've probably seen a lot of different things. you've chosen to focus on independent media in Canada, and you've chosen to promote podcasts that are bringing these sort of progressive voices forward. And I'm curious, what do you think? Why do you think that independent media is important? Why do people need to be hearing it? And what's your role in that?
I think that it's pretty clear that we have a collapsing media ecosystem in Canada, and that's been a long time coming. But if, you know, we look at how the National Post owns most of the papers across the country, including the tabloids in Edmonton Sun, Calgary Sun, Ottawa Sun, Toronto Sun, and it's bad media. There's some good journalists, but it's mostly very right wing, very reactionary, and very trash. So yeah, right wing and even far right wing media is ascending in Canada in the sense that it controls most of the media. CBC is great, but it's very neither here nor there because it's unideological. And that means that we have a hard time getting values that matter to us, values of ecology, values of social justice in the mainstream, despite the fact that those values are shared by a majority of Canadians. So I put my time into independent media because it's something that the country really needs. And it's something that is extremely exciting and validating to work in, because there's so much exciting things happening across the country in terms of activism and social justice and public education and stuff like that. So I'm the director of Harbinger Media, which is Canada's progressive podcast community. So we are a kind of loose collective of 60 shows from coast to coast in French and English, where everybody who hosts the show is basically an activist, a journalist, or an educator, an academic usually. And it means the quality of our content is really, really high. And we do a sort of public education in a way that's also really entertaining, subversive, and engaging, right? So Harbinger launched about 3 years ago as a way of kind of creating a shared space where a community could come together. Mm. And it's been really successful in the sense that we have 120 hosts across the country, many of whom are like buddies, like in real life, and hang out and do work together and do activism together to complement the kind of media work that we do. So for listeners, Harbinger Media, if you haven't heard us, harbingermedianetwork.com is our website, and you can go there to find 60 different archived shows, as well as updates with new episodes. Last year we released 470 podcast episodes, and this year we're likely to break that record with more than 500. So, we're doing really exceptional work, and, I just love being the person who helps to facilitate, this community.
And you say like activists, journalists, educators from across the country, you're getting a really wide range of different viewpoints and probably some like hyper local things as well in that mix. Like I imagine there's a balance of like national kind of reporting and like hyper local stories that are happening in somebody's backyard.
Absolutely. Like for instance, The Independent, which is Newfoundland and Labrador's independent a media space, they have a show, Barry Grounds, hosted by Justin Brake, which really focuses on provincial news and muckraking, like holding the powerful to account, kind of investigative reporting. But then by contrast, we have The Breach show from The Breach Media, which focuses on more national issues. We have a show from Press Progress called Press Progress Sources that also focuses on the reporting that that outlet does, but also from a much more national coast-to-coast perspective. And then in Quebec, we have several different shows from PIVO, which is a solidarity journalism cooperative based in Montreal. And those shows, of course, are in French and focus very much on like Quebec's perspective on social justice, on pop culture, and politics. So it's a really broad range. The Alberta Advantage is a very popular show on the network that focuses on kind of deep dives into history about the prairies, about Alberta. Unmaking Saskatchewan, hosted by Alex Burrell in Regina, focuses on very Saskatchewan issues. So it's definitely a local-based storytelling and also very national at times.
There's an interesting parallel with a lot of the work we do is very grassroots. And so I was interested in that because, you know, there is that one thing that we'll chat about a little later is that parallel between activism and journalism and media production, and how those stories line up across that local and then national and international frame. I know right now we're dealing with a situation in Canada where there has been, well, Meta has already banned journalistic content in Canada. Now it's looking like Google will do something. As of the recording of this podcast, it's looking like Google will do the same. And that has ramifications, and we don't actually know ultimately how many different platforms might end up instituting bans on journalistic content in Canada, particularly for independent media. How is that impacting that landscape, and what's the impact for you that you actually see in the work that you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, nothing's more grassroots than a community of 120 podcasters, most of whom work for totally free. Like, lots of shows have Patreons. Some of them are successful and manage to actually make a nice bank every month to support their work. But a lot of shows are really just doing it out of enthusiasm for being, you know, upset with the status quo and being frustrated with local and provincial and national governments, and for wanting to sort of highlight and frame issues from a progressive perspective. So yeah, I think the grassroots is really like a major part of the DNA of the Harbinger community. What that has arrived at in an interesting way with the sort of aftermath of Bill C-18, which we're still in the process of living through, as we record this, Meta, aka Facebook, liquidated Canadian News on their platform. So that means everybody in independent news is suddenly, you know, lost 40% of their capacity to reach people, which makes it very difficult to grow. And Google is likely to follow suit, eliminating Canadian News from search engines. It seems like unbelievable, but apparently that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. So in the face of this, like, kind of like event horizon for Canadian media, mm-hmm. We actually have a really exciting project, which will have been released by the time this episode comes out. So basically, Harbinger is teaming up with 19 other independent local, regional, and national media outlets from across the country, and we're releasing something called Unrigged at unrigged.ca, which is a news platform that provides up-to-the-hour news from across the country, aggregating new content, new articles, new investigative journalism, new op-eds from the independent progressive media community from coast to coast. We're going to be like a nonprofit, so it's a very different kind of media than normal media, but mm-hmm. it's going to include print magazines, community newspapers, podcasts, online publishers, and that whole community covering news and current events. It's a big project. We have the Maple and the Progress Report in Alberta. We have Briar Patch and Sask Dispatch in Saskatchewan. We have the Hoser upping the ante, Midnight Sun, and The Grind in Ontario. We have Harbinger, Ababa, The Rover, and the Co-op Solidarity, Co-op de Solidarité Pivot in Quebec, the New Brunswick Media Co-op, The Independent in Newfoundland, and the national publishers at The Breach, The Resolve, Ricochet, The Media Co-op, Canadian wow. Dimension, and Press Progress. So like with the Online News Act, aka Bill C-18, it's big trouble. And part of our response is creating this common front of founding partner publications who are going to be pulling together and putting forward a shared website that curates basically the best and the range and the scope of all of the independent media outlets who are part of the project to really make an impact on Canadian community media. And, you know, we already reach like 1 million Canadians every year. And the idea here is we want to reach more because we know our stories, our values, and what we're putting forward is something that audiences are, you know, have an appetite for. They're hungry for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an amazing project bringing together all of these different sources, because, again, there is sort of a feeling of, and I noticed from the environmental community too, when these things hit, it's like a strength in numbers thing, right? Like if you can come together, if you can share resources, then there's the chance to fight back against these sometimes national, systemic, or even international things that we're having to fight. So That's great. I'm really fantastic to hear about that. I'm curious to dig a little bit further into that. Like, we've talked about some of the impacts of this on independent media, on them being banned from this. Is there a special role in that landscape for podcasts because they kind of naturally are on different platforms? Like, they're on anything from Spotify to Apple Podcasts to places that you maybe aren't necessarily going to be subject to a lot of these bans. And I'm curious, is there a special role that podcasts have to play in that ecosystem?
Yeah, like, that's a good point. Harbinger has yet to be banned from Facebook or Instagram, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened tomorrow. Mm. So it's maybe less that there's the range of different outlets where podcasts can be disseminated, but maybe it's more about how a Harbinger as an entity ended up being a place where we had space to have a lot of different publishers come out and release shows on the network. So like I said, The Independent, Press Progress, The Hoser in Toronto, The Breach in Montreal, The Maple in Calgary. And having all these different outlets in this shared space kind of like kicked open the door a little for collaboration in ways that might not always feel natural. And the experience for independent media is that it's a constant grind and a constant hustle trying to actually not just make bank, but like pay your journalists, more than $50, like not doing a BuzzFeed model of journalism, but actually trying to pay your talent. It's a real challenge. So people are really preoccupied with just staying above water. Mm-hmm. Having this sort of community like Harbinger has allowed for basically like community cultivation, where deliberately there is a space where everyone's like, what if we were all friends? What if we like hung out? What if we did things in real life together? What if we saw this as a shared experience? And creating that kind of solidarity is key. And the reason it's worked in Harbinger, and the reason I feel like it will also work with Unrigged, is that the values are super shared. Like, there is no daylight between how all of us in the community at Harbinger and Unrigged see the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. There's no daylight in how we see issues of social justice in housing, in poverty, in indigenous justice, like everything. We're so on the same page, and that allows for, you know, not a lot of room for disagreement on the things that matter. Yeah. And it's been really interesting to see Harbinger end up as a sort of case study for how that can work and be functional. And now seeing how that evolves into something like Unrigged, where we will have 20 publishers sharing a space and really just sharing the same values. So it's definitely a new kind of initiative in media. And it's very different from how other independent media, I think, approaches what they do. An unnamed podcast that is the most popular independent podcast in this land called Canada, in their ask for fundraising this week, the host basically was just like, oh yeah, there's like a lot of independent media out there, and they're fine, but you need our outlet, you need us, we are the solution, we are the answer. And I found that kind of cringe, kind of cheap, because actually it's a real benefit to have a lot of different voices. It's not great to have kind of one key place with one key personality that drives the outlet. So another thing that I love about our community is that it's many personalities. It's many people, all of them extremely cool, dope, excellent journalists. And it's not just like driven by one person's hubris. So that's a little bit different, a little bit of a different characteristic with what we're doing with Harbinger and what we'll be doing with Unrigged. Find that at harbingermedianetwork.com and find Unrigged at unrigged.ca.
And it's interesting parallels between what you're doing and the work that we do, because again, one of those things is Sierra Club Canada, we are the grassroots, you know, national organization. We're a national organization, but really, you know, we bring together a lot of other smaller organizations, and that's kind of our role. And then we connect them with the other national organizations, the international. And so our tagline, if you like, is we're stronger together, because that's, you know, kind of our aim. And we are finding a similar thing in that, yes, there are differences in how we do activism, let's say, between, you know, group A and group B, right? Or how we go about making change. But we agree on all the fundamentals. I imagine there's a sort of a similar thing because there's a lot of different views on what journalism is, what it should be, how it should be done. So I assume you probably run into similar conversations on those things. But those base qualities of, well, we care about climate change, we care about social justice, we care about the environment and human rights, you know, we care about rights on that larger level of looking at nature. Those are things that really connect our community and allow everybody to work together, because at the end of the day, if we disagree about the specific way forward, we can still find that commonality. And as you say, it's also like people still can hang out and have a barbecue together or something. You know, people can still get together and do those physical things. Just as a bit of a tangent before we get into the direct connections between the environmental movement and the independent media movement in Canada, I'm just curious about that physical space versus the digital space, because we've talked a lot about the digital space. You know, is there something to be said, especially given these bans, for moving back to physical spaces, for moving back to ways of getting together and ways of working together that, as you say, seem to naturally be the result of what you're doing, but actually bring people together in a physical place?
Okay, this is top secret for your listeners' ears only, and listeners, please don't let this out.
There'll hopefully be quite a few, so you know, you never know.
This has been a topic of conversation over the summer. I'm in Montreal and I love to kind of get together picnics where I invite people from different media spaces. And when I'm in Toronto, I try to do the same thing. And so, yeah, this summer in these sorts of face-to-face hangouts with people who I largely am in touch with online, it was really interesting to have conversations about like, whoa, Bill C-18, like, what are we going to do? And the top secret thing is that I think we're going to be seeing really interesting, like, public events. Like think about how independent music operates and people, you know, they do a lot of their audience cultivation through social media, but they also do it through, like, people still flyer, right? People still create zines. These are very DIY, like, low-key ways to promote. But things like that, I think, are not, you know, crazy. Like, this is something that these are tools that can be used. Doing public events where, in the case of our journalism community at Unrigged, tying that into our podcast community of people who are very comfortable speaking publicly, we'll be having live events where some of our talent from podcasts will be hosting live podcast recordings with, like, 2-hour block, first hour, bringing on a couple guests from the activism community, talking about an issue of social justice, of environmental justice, whatever. Intermission, followed by a second hour where we'll have some people, some journalists from the media community to come on and talk about their work, to talk about how independent journalism is fighting back against the post-Bill C-18 world. And those kinds of public events, kind of like, you know, if you're a band and you put on a show, you want to get like 100 people out. That's how you reach people. It's not ridiculous. And I think that we were kind of tricked into thinking that social media was the end of history in terms of how we would reach audiences.
Yeah.
And in truth, I'm not sure social media really, like, changed the game in terms of mass audiences finding independent media work. But it's sure that now that's actually unraveling. And so we're rethinking, like, you know, how we approach putting our work out there. And that, yeah. So, like, if we think of independent media contemporarily in the last 5 years or something, how it's evolved, it's been very much a part of the social media age. Mm-hmm. As we shift to something like whatever's coming up next, independent media is going to be a thing in Canada moving forward, because we have a decrepit mainstream media ecosystem. How we get that work out to people is going to be like an ongoing challenge, but it's going to be a fun challenge because we love our work. We're really good at it. And the outlets on Unrigged and the podcast at Harbinger are extremely, you know, high quality, really smart, cool people. they're very good at what they do. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how that evolves in the coming in 2024.
And, you know, that's something that's interesting because it has a parallel with I work in communications, obviously not journalism really, but I talk with a lot of other communications professionals. And I think a big red flag warning sign that I see is whenever somebody says, oh, social media is the answer to everything, because it's powerful, it's useful, but it always only ever been a part of that landscape. And I think especially with what's happening, you are going to see people who do want to naturally, I think instinctively we search out the something that is the truth, right? Like we try to find that, and that can go in good ways and terrible ways, but we naturally want to do that. And I think you are going to find people moving beyond social media because they just kind of instinctually know this is not a place where I'm going to find that anymore. It might be one source for some things, but it's not going to be a source for everything. Tying into that, we deal a lot in the environmental movement with disinformation, and it's something that it impacts every aspect of what we do. Every campaign that we start, you know, is going out into this ecosystem of information. And some of that information is great, and some of that information is terrible, and some of it is bought and paid for by, say, a big powerful industry. And journalism has always had a role in that, in terms of, even if it wasn't covering, you know, and credit to the CBC as well, and to a lot of other organizations that have done this work, even if it wasn't, you know, covering a really progressive side of things, it's at least provided some objective reporting on both sides of an issue. And now with that off social media, there is that danger that that void is going to be filled then with the disinformation, especially with things, the rise of AI, which is its own subject, right? But, you know, the potential to create huge amounts of content that, you know, is not useful if you want to get the truth out there, but it's very useful if you want to obscure it. I'm curious, what can environmental organizations be doing to support independent media in this context? What should we be doing? And just for people listening too, because there's probably going to be some people who work for environmental movements listening. There's probably going to be some people who are just doing environmentalism on a local basis. You know, what should they be doing to help? How can they help spread the word or provide support to these local media organizations and the ways you're coming together?
I like to think that it's a moment where the public activism community is becoming more and more aware of how independent media is an engine for driving their values and their messaging and their outreach and everything, right? Because on Harbinger shows, for instance, we constantly have people from all over the environmental field talking about issues that matter to your listeners. Green Majority is Canada's longest running green podcast, like environmental podcast. Mm-hmm. It's been broadcasting on CIUT in Toronto for like almost 20 years. And their weekly podcast, which is rebroadcasting what is broadcast on terrestrial radio, is like a perfect clearinghouse of just like, you know, all the up-to-date news about environmental stuff combined with a 30-minute interview of someone from, you know, various organizations. So that's a really like obvious tie between like the sort of movement that Sierra Club helps to incubate and to drive and the work that we do with Harbinger. So I've been really interested to watch, since Green Majority joined Harbinger about a year and a half ago, how then the environmental world is able to make connections with this Harbinger community. Because, yeah, we share the same values. Harbinger's there to amplify voices from the ecological movement. And that's just going to continue the same way that independent journalism and independent media that will be represented by Unrigged, they're also like literally covering all the same stuff. So yeah, I think in the coming months and years, these relationships are just going to become stronger because the quality of what independent journalism creates in Canada is so helpful for the environmental community. How can you help? I mean, the obvious thing is just to say support independent media. Harbinger is completely listener supported, so we receive no foundational funding. We receive no governmental funding, and we run on the, you know, $5 a month support of listeners, like people listening to this podcast. So whether it's supporting Harbinger at harbingermedianetwork.com for $5 a month, or whether it's like supporting your favorite independent journalism outlet for $5 or $10 a month, that really goes a long way. And as Canadian media continues to unravel, we are going to eventually have to, you know, put our money where our mouth is and throw a cup of coffee a month at media that matters to us, because it runs on very little, and it needs support of listeners and readers to thrive. So I think the biggest thing that people can do to support independent journalism and independent podcasting is to really just see if your budget has a little bit of money to help. And obviously that's really difficult for most of us, but a lot of the people doing independent journalism are doing it out of enthusiasm and not because they're actually able to pay their rent. So it would be great to have a little bit more financial support. Yeah.
Thanks, Andre, for joining me today. Please subscribe to Harbinger, subscribe to Unrigged, which is probably out by the time this podcast comes out. And Andre, if you have any final words, go for it.
It's been great to be on the show. I love talking about all this stuff. Unrigged.ca launches on November 15th. You can find that online. It's the aggregator of Canadian independent journalism that includes 20 publishers across the country. Harbinger Media is continuing to bring on new shows, expand every few months, and we're at 60 shows now, but in 2024, we'll be getting even bigger. And there's so much excellent quality at harbingermedianetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletter to get a weekly update on new episodes. And if you have $5 a month to help support the work we do, we'll be happy to send you a new book from Between the Lines or Fernwood Publishing, and some stickers and postcards and pins as a thank you. So yeah, support Harbinger at harbingermedianetwork.com. And don't forget to check out Unrigged at unrigged.ca, launching November 15th.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Connor. It's been awesome.
Hi, everybody. So because we recorded this podcast quite a while ago, we decided that this week we would take a break from the Q&A. There are more Q&A responses to come. And instead, take a second to chat about the recent release of our latest biannual newsletter, The Activist, and talk about some of the work of our chapters and programs, because we do have a bit of time at the end of this interview to do that in. So I'm going to take a little bit of time and just go through the latest edition of The Activist, talk about some of the things our chapters and programs are into, and in that way answer some of the general questions we've been getting pretty consistently for you know, a couple of years, that are not necessarily tied directly to this podcast, but nonetheless things have people have asked us about quite a bit. And I just want to be clear before we begin here that anything we say in this part of the podcast from on isn't reflective of the views of our guests. We always just want to make that clear. And what I'm about to talk about now is definitely in the category of things to do with Sierra Club Canada. So for those of you who are tuning in maybe for the first time to this podcast, or for those of you who have had questions about our work that are general and have sent them to us in the last few years, of course, we have hopefully followed up with you directly, but we hope that this gets a bit more into some of the things that we are doing. I'm going to start actually by reading a message from Ol Hendrickson, president of the board of directors of Sierra Club Canada Foundation. The winter months often have a way of creating more space for reflection. It can be an opportunity to deeply reflect and connect on the solutions needed to address some of today's biggest challenges. The Sierra Club Canada Foundation deeply values directly working with you, our supporters, on key environmental issues facing our country from coast to coast to coast. Since our last The Activist newsletter this past spring, we have had the opportunity to come together on several occasions, including most recently with Ben Jealous, the executive director of the United States Sierra Club, who came to visit us in Ottawa to talk about cross-border environmental issues and how we can collaborate. Our day of deep conversation was followed by a meaningful walk in Cantley, Quebec, with local environmental leaders, Sierra Club Canada staff, and volunteers. It was a wonderful opportunity to showcase some of our local programs. Your hard work also paid off with Canada announcing an emissions cap framework at COP28. While we now embark on a journey of shaping this framework, your voice was heard in taking this monumental first step. We want to share with you a few more highlights of what our team of staff and volunteers have been up to recently. And that was a message from Ol Hendrickson, again, president of the board of directors of Sierra Club Canada. And so I'm going to dive into some of the features. You can find the full newsletter on our website, sierraclub.ca. But just starting off with our Prairie chapter, which held several Indigenous-led walks this past summer. On August 5th, they were lucky enough to have Naomi McAuliffe to lead them on their first Indigenous-led walk, the River Ramble. And a big thank you as well to Alberta Eco Trust for providing the resources needed for the August walks. And so just to give you an idea of what some of the things the Prairie Chapter has also been up to this past year, they've also run a community garden in Winnipeg that focused on promoting local prairie plants species in the area. People were able to not only come out and help plant these plants in the garden, but also take home some extra seeds that they had at the end of the year. That's an example of one bit of Prairie Chapter work. And as we'll talk about too a little bit later, Prairie Chapter is host to one of our three Wild Child programs in Edmonton that of course gets children outside for thousands of hours every year. Again, find out more about that on the website, and we'll be chatting a bit more about that to come. The Ontario Chapter has been involved in kind of three major things in the past little while. One is a coalition in Mount St. Denis, representing one of the most diverse neighborhoods in Toronto, that continues to fight against Metrolinx for environmental justice. With Indigenous and non-Indigenous volunteers, they are continuing to push to hold Metrolinx and the provincial government accountable, asking them to stop the cutting of 1,400 sacred trees close to the ancestrally important Indigenous lands by the Humber River. If you want to learn more about that, do check out the digital copy of this newsletter on our website. Another thing that the chapter continues to do is promote information and knowledge about the Greenbelt. So we have a recent blog posts about the Greenbelt and how you can learn more about that particular issue. The Ontario chapter also recently paired up with Patagonia Ottawa in their launch at the Byward Market. And it was a really great chance actually for them to promote another program that they've been working on, the Ontario chapter's Breathe Easy program, which monitors air quality in the Ottawa region and how that air quality is being maintained. And that's a citizen science program. So the nice thing is it gets people out into the environment, monitoring their own air quality and having a sense of empowerment over it. The Quebec chapter has a new board representative, Shirley Barnier. Shirley has joined since the AGM earlier this fall and is a 19-year-old environmental activist from Montreal. She has done a lot of different things, including being a core organizer for the Fridays for the Future Montreal protests that took place, leading student strikes and climate protests, 25 so far, with as many as 15,000 participants. Shirley has also written op-eds for the Globe and Mail and the Montreal Gazette. And as a spokesperson for the group, she's given dozens of interviews. If you're interested in becoming a member of Sierra Club Quebec, I encourage you to check out their chapter page on our website. Atlantic Chapter has done a lot of work around particularly the campaign to stop the Bay du Nord oil project. So last September, over 200 people came out to a rally against Equinor's Bay du Nord in St. John's, Newfoundland, Labrador. The event was organized by youth in the province, and the Sierra Club Canada was pleased to have been able to help with getting the word out. Thank you to all those who showed up to send a strong message to leaders on that issue. This month, we also participated in an international meeting of the Equinor Out of Oil and Gas campaign in Oslo, Norway. As part of the Equinor Out campaign, we are joining forces with those around the world, from Argentina to Brazil to the UK and Norway itself, who are fighting back against Equinor and Norway's oil and gas expansion plans. And if you don't know who Equinor are, they are the Norwegian majority state-owned oil and gas company that has been pursuing projects such as Bay du Nord, extremely environmentally dangerous projects, all across the world. And because, you know, taking on an international oil and gas company requires also international solidarity. We're part of that international campaign. And you can also listen to recent podcast episodes with activists as part of the campaign in Norway, the United Kingdom, and Costa Rica on the Environment in Canada podcast. Sierra Youth is our youth chapter, a nationwide youth chapter. The Sierra Youth Committee is a team of passionate youth volunteers across Canada working to fight for climate justice through a multidisciplinary approach to grassroots activism. The executive team is looking for new members to join the committee and tackle plans to expand the Sierra Youth podcast and Instagram and bring more youth into conversations about environmental and social justice issues through outreach and education. If you would like to join a team devoted to empowering youth to become active community leaders and change makers, please apply. You can find the application form again on our website in the digital version of The Activist. Finally, I want to talk about a couple of things. Number one is our wild child programs, which really give children the chance to learn from nature. And we have three wild child programs located in Edmonton, in Prince Edward Island, and in Nova Scotia. And the three different programs all kind of focus on similar things, but very much uniquely tailor those programs to their locations and to what children really need in those locations. So wild child programs bring fun environmental education and encourage staff and children to get outside, play games, to learn about their environment and the other critters they share their community with. Finally, I want to chat just a little bit about this particular podcast, actually, and some of the new ways to stay up to date with the work of Sierra Club Canada and with some of our allies. Because as you might have guessed from the nature of this podcast, we've been involved, particularly throughout the past year, in working with independent media to try to increase their ability to reach people, especially with some of the things around the current Meta bans on journalism and the risk of a Google ban on journalism. But we've also been just kind of working with them in general to say, well, you know, regardless of what happens with, say, a Google ban, what can we be doing to better coordinate between the environmental movement and independent media? And so we've worked with a number of different publications and a number of different groups. Obviously, we've been able to chat with Harbinger Media today, but I just want to talk about some of the new ways we've actually developed with them for you to stay up to date. One, of course, is this podcast. So the Environment in Canada podcast is a new way that you can check out not only the work of Sierra Club Canada, but also, you know, stories about the environment in general. We're going to be trying to cover a lot of different things in the next little while, because we know that there's a lot that needs to be covered. And we also know that, like, it's not the easiest always to be able to have access to that information, right? Like, we don't necessarily have the time to sit down and read through a whole series of articles on an issue. The nice thing about a podcast format in that way is that regardless of what you're doing, you can put on the Sierra Club Canada Environment in Canada podcast in the background and listen to it as you work and, you know, tune into the things that are most useful to you. And so that was the sort of thinking about this podcast and how we wanted to bring it forward, and the chance too that it gave us then to interview people outside our organization who are working on very similar things, like the Harbinger Media Group, like so many other publications. We've been able to, you know, share with you, I think, some content, for instance, from the National Observer and other publications that are doing some amazing environmental journalism. And there are, regardless of whether it's in larger scale journalism or smaller scale, there are some amazing journalists out there doing work. We're going to be continuing to feature their articles are in our newsletters and in our communications, because we think it's super important. On that same note, you might have heard of a publication called The Energy Mix, an amazing publication that's been doing a lot of great work covering not just climate and energy issues, but the solutions to climate and energy issues at the same time. And we've been following news from The Energy Mix for a long period of time, and that sort of led to having a chat with them about how could we help to promote that content in a way that also gave people a means to take action. Because something that you're going to run into, I think, that all of us run into in reading environmental news, is that it's really hard to read often. Especially, you know, reading climate news takes a toll. And too often, that news isn't about good news for the environment. There's a lot that needs to be done, and we want to make sure that in the moment when you need to take action, you can. Because it's the only way we can face the headlines every day is by taking action. And by also having positive communications. That's one thing we really loved about working with The Energy Mix and reading their content, is that they have a lot of positive articles that they have been writing. So I would really encourage you, with all of that being said, to check out the Community Energy Showcase on Sierra Club Canada, which is our new joint website with The Energy Mix. And what this is a single place not only for articles from The Energy Mix and from Sierra Club Canada, but also ways to take action that we currently have that are often linked, whether peripherally or directly, to the articles that are being published, right? And the sorts of subjects that are being talked about. It's a great resource, and do check out the Community Energy Showcase, a first of its kind, to our knowledge, collaboration between the Energy Mix and Sierra Club Canada, something that is really cool and a really great way to stay up to date with environmental coverage that is reliable and that is regular. So with all of that said, I'm going to chat very briefly about a couple of things that are coming up this year and things to stay tuned on. And please do feel free to send us questions about any of the things that we've talked about today, but also about what's coming up next. This year, of course, we will be continuing a lot of our climate action work at the national level to try and fight back against oil and gas expansion and to try and fight for common sense measures like the emissions cap in Canada that are just things that, you know, no matter where you sit, no matter if you agree with us on a lot of things or not, just make sense and have a lot of public support and should not be degraded by the lobbying of the oil and gas industry. So we're going to be doing a lot of work on that. We're also going to be doing a lot of work on the rights of nature. And this is a concept that, if you're not familiar with it, we're going to have some episodes coming out soon talking specifically about what that actually means. There are some resources already on our website, and you might have actually signed a petition recently about fighting for the rights of nature. But do stay tuned. There's going to be more this year on that topic. And it's a really fundamental topic, as we're going to chat about, that has a lot of legal ramifications and a lot of chance to have a really positive impact for the environment that goes beyond just responding to environmental destruction, which often, sometimes is too often what we're doing, but which can actually create a framework for, you know, protecting nature in the long term and giving it the rights that it deserves legally. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. A reminder also that you can take action on environmental issues by visiting sierraclub.ca. We have tons of petitions, other actions and events, and regular news updates you can sign up for on the homepage. You can also find Sierra Club Canada on social media, and you can listen to the Environment in Canada podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast also airs on CKUT Broadcast Radio in Montreal, 90.3 FM, bi-weekly on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. ET. Don't forget to click follow or subscribe so you get the latest episodes from us.
Regresa el ídolo más esperado, Chayanne. Con su gira mundial Bailemos Otra Vez.
Lo dejaría todo porque te quedas.
15 de noviembre, Bell Center. A la venta este viernes 8 de marzo por Ticketmaster.com. Chayanne regresa en su gira Bailemos Otra Vez.
Provócame.
Produce CM.
Heavy Trip and CKUT present. An evening with Revenge International recording artists. Horse Lords and Colbert. A no Grammy double whammy. Chock a block with Sonic Tomfoolery. Live at Sotrania on Saturday, March 16th. Tickets on sale now. For more information, visit www.google.com.
Hey, this is Claire Jenkins. You're listening to 90.3 CKUT Montreal FM.
She was standing at a bar in the middle of the night. She knew that she would be all right. She would leave when the band left, not stay long, and I look for a new friend to make her holler. She had taken up a cautionary measure, worn his shirt underneath her sweater, a reminder that even though he was away, it was up to her not to stray. And oh, 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 the band played on.
CKUT 90.3 FM. never seen nothing like that in my entire life. A round ball, I feel good. That watch can't do nothing.
Thank you. Kick it over here, baby pop!
CKUT, yo, yo, this is for your mind, soul, and spirit. Plus your body divides, masters at work, you gotta hear it. And West Indian rhythms on Saturday night. Roots, rock, reggae, I keep it tight. Manchild, hitting switches, keep it right. Disciple on a Friday, Psalms of soul, I do it my way. With ill groove on Sunday, I gotta say one way. We stick together, it's for unity in the community on CKUT. At 90.3, man, challenge John Fish. We give you that musical wish to put more music in that dish. So listen to your radio station and simply turn it on. CKUT, word is born, word is born. Y'all enjoy yourselves. Love you, Montreal. Tune into CKUT always.